This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome back to another Foul Front podcast. I'm your host, per usual, Matt, and joining me once again is my buddy Thomas. Thomas, how are you doing tonight?
Pretty good. Just kind of getting settled back in after a long weekend down in Arkansas, and pretty much Arkansas is in the rearview mirror now, and game fair is a week away. So no rest for the weary up here. Big things right around the corner. So yeah, just getting ready for show number two of the summer. How about you?
Oh yeah, well I just got back from Rogers Week, and that's my first time I've actually been to one of these waterfowl shows, so that was pretty fun time, and I'm sure we'll go into a little bit more about both of those here. But main thing, we're about 3 weeks away from hunting season, so looking forward to that. That's the countdown is officially on, and it'll be here hopefully before we know it.
Yep, right around the corner. Have you seen any birds, any blue wings, I guess, start to show up in your area yet?
Well, I actually, there's not a lot of areas with water. All our early spring water's kind of dried up. There's like a few, though, that like deeper ponds that still have some. And I saw some mallard ducklings and five blue wings last week. So hard to say if those are just kind of lazy and didn't want to migrate north, or if they're, new arrivals. But as we're recording this, we had a cold front roll through yesterday. It's going to be lows in the, low 50s tonight, and we had a 30-mile-an-hour north wind. So if that didn't push some in, I'd be surprised.
Yep. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw the first flock show up around here, 2 days ago now, because there's been a spot that I drive by pretty regularly, and just kind of like a good ducky spot. It has a bunch of vegetation in it. And, I'm always just looking, whenever I drive past it, I'm looking for ducks. And it had a handful of blue wings in it just a couple of days ago for the first time all summer long. So pretty sure that was probably the first flock of blue wings headed down from wherever they come from up north.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's wetlands. So the moisture has been much appreciated. The crops are actually growing this year, and where the wetlands were, where there was water, there's smartweed now and barnyard grass. So that's all teal food. All we need is just a nice 2-inch, 3-inch shower on those, and we'll be in business. But if not, we're gonna have to put some miles on again this year.
Heck yeah. Well, I want to hear about how your first waterfowl show went. It's crazy for me to think that you know, you've been doing the waterfowl YouTube for this long. This is your first time going to a show. I guess there really isn't one local to you, so I shouldn't be that surprised. But yeah, I'm really interested to hear what you got into and how you enjoyed it.
Yeah, so they had the Rogers Waterfowl Weekend, and it was Friday, Saturday. I couldn't go Friday because I had to work, but I was able to go there Saturday. Got up early, drove down there, and it was just crazy. Never been to Rogers before, and so it took me a few hours after even getting there to get into the store because there was just a line of people, and I was like, I'm not going to stand in line to go in there, and it's just crazy. It's like there's all kinds of fishing stuff and a lot of duck hunting stuff, mainly duck hunting stuff and goose hunting stuff, which, you know, that's exactly what I like to see there. And then just all kinds of people. So that was really fun. You know, we talked duck hunting a lot. A lot of the Flyways members were there. Elliot from Freelance Duck Hunting, Jordan from Duck Gun Chronicles, and Josh from Outdoor Limits. So it was kind of unfortunate you and Titus couldn't be there, but well, we had a good time. Just there was all kinds of ammunition companies and other decoy companies with all their like new products out. And, Lucky Duck was like close to the FA booth, and there was like a dove that would try to land. Like they were working the spinners at some points throughout the day. So that was really fun. Kent had this dude, he was in a shot shell mascot costume. It was a black shot shell, and he was wearing black sleeves and black gloves. And it's 90 degrees and like 90% humidity. And this dude's walking around. I'm like, I do not want to be you, man. I was dying. I was dying in this humidity and heat. I'm not, you know, I'm over it. I'm ready for some frost and some ice and stuff. But yeah, so could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, I hope he was getting paid a good hourly rate, because we did the Dive Bomb Squad Fest last year, and that was kind of the same sort of situation out on a black parking lot. And let me tell you, like, we cooked out there on that, and we're not wearing black. I can only imagine.
Well, the rumor going around was that whoever does it, and I think they had two people, so they had a morning shift and an afternoon shift, and whoever did it got a case of Kent shells. So whatever, like, their choice of Kent shells. So that, you know, a couple hundred bucks for 3 or 4 hours walking around, I guess, you know, I'd pencil out to $50 an hour or more. So I still want to do it for that, I guess. Maybe like five cases or something, but no, it was fun time. Probably the coolest thing from the weekend, besides just hanging out with, like, you know, the other Flyways guys, was Final Approach had like a whole pool of decoys, and they had new decoys for this season. So they had all the ones they've had, but they have a couple new ones coming out. They've got like these smaller, they're like smaller size gadwall and widget and pintail and stuff. But what I was excited about is they're coming out with coot decoys this year. They had them here in this pool, and I was just like, yep, I need some of those. So I'm going to be ordering some FA coot decoys for this upcoming year. And then they had some divers too. They had canvasback and greater scop and redhead decoys. So probably going to get some of them too. But yeah, it was just a fun time, and everyone's talking duck hunting. Usually when you go to like some hunting shows or hunting banquets, unless it's like a DU or Delta event, it's a lot of deer hunters, or, you know, they're all talking big game, which that's fine, but, you know, I want to talk ducks. So it was right up my alley. I was pretty pumped about it.
Of all the booths there, who did you feel like, besides Final Approach, had the coolest display? Like, what booth were you drawn to the most?
I can't even think what their name was now. It was like a really light decoy system. Like a foam fill kind of deal or something. I don't want to say it was Lifetime. It was something else.
Heyday.
That's it. Yeah. Cause they had a UTV with like a whole big, I think they called it like the quack rack or something, had this whole big thing on there, and they had decoys rigged up on it. And they had this whole big like RV or trailer type deal, just all kinds of fancy stuff. That one definitely caught my eye. Delta was there and they had pelts out and they had like miniature nesting boxes and stuff. And I went and talked to them. Actually, I showed up with my DU hat that I usually wear, and they're like, "You got a Delta hat? Well, if not, we'll give you one." And they're they gave me a Delta hat, so got me a new hat for the season. Nice camo Delta hat. So, but yeah, and there's all kinds of. There was Higdon was there. They had these like silhouette spinner things, like you put them on individual silhouette spinners. So I hadn't seen those before. Those were kind of cool, and that. They had them on like, I don't know how many silhouettes. So they're just like moving back and forth the whole day. It was just crazy. But yeah, there's all kinds of stuff going on. There was some call people there and they were, they were just hammering on the calls, even elk bugles. So kind of out of place in Missouri of all places. But yeah, it was a fun time. And Turtle Box was there and they were every now and then they'd have their speaker going and they just throw it in the pool. Where like the FA decoys were, and then it still worked underwater. So I don't know. It'd be kind of cool to take on a tubing trip, I think.
But yeah, those things are legit. We have a couple up here, and we put them through the ringer, and they still haven't been able to break them. So yeah, those things are pretty legit. But yeah, it's cool to hear. Like, I did the duck and goose calling wear on you at any point, or were you able to kind of tune it out?
I mean, you know, everyone's hammering on the calls, and I'm just at one point Josh got his calls out, and then I was just poking a little fun at him, and I started mouth calling. I was like, "Wah, wah, wah." I thought it sounded really good. So, but no, I kind of just tuned him out.
Yeah. You almost have to like develop that skill at these shows, or else like, especially with the longer shows, like with Delta, and especially like working the call booth, like it was like it's like a progression. Day one, you know, it's the first day of the show. You're fired up. Like, you want to hear all the calls. You want to hear people ripping on them. Day two, it's like, all right. I mean, it's kind of lost its luster, but it's not annoying me yet. And then on Sunday, the third day, if you're not able to tune them out, like, it'll drive you nuts. Like, you got to just have some sort of filter, or like what Corey does at Game Fair, like he'll bring his hearing protection and just put them on. Cause like, especially nice. If you're working the call booth, I mean, people are just blowing the call directly in your face all day long, which like, that's what we want. But at the same time, it's a give and take. Cause it'll certainly wear on you.
Oh yeah. So let's hear about the Delta, yeah. What's the official name of it? I guess the Delta Expo or.
Yeah. Delta Waterfowl Expo. It was really cool. It was my first time doing that show. I want to say it's their third year having it. It's in Little Rock, super nice convention center. Like, of all the shows I've been to, it's probably the nicest facilities. Just very, very, I don't know, well organized and stuff like that. So we got set up on Thursday. Show went Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It was definitely like a tale of 2 days, I guess 2 days and three, like Friday and Sunday were very similar. Just not a ton of people there. I guess Friday was a lot of like local guys who were, you know, getting off from the office and coming down, or younger guys who weren't in school. Sunday was a lot of families, but Friday and Sunday attendance wasn't anything remarkable. But Saturday was nuts. Saturday, that place was wall to wall. I think they said 30,000 people came through there on Saturday. So yeah, it was nuts. I mean, I had someone trying out a call pretty much all day long. And it ran from 9 to 5. So really cool show. It was like a different sort of show, because I feel like Arkansas is kind of unique in that hunting is the culture down there. It's not like other parts of the country where, you know, if people go waterfowl hunting, the majority go out for opening day or a couple weekends. Like, such a large percentage of the guys down there like live for those 60 days, and they go so hard in those 60 days that it really felt like you were just immersed in duck hunting culture down there. And just really good people. A lot of fun to see people try out our calls. And I really got a lot of good feedback. You know, we just came out with a new duck call, the Harlot, which is a J-frame style duck call. And if you know much about Arkansas, everybody down there these days seems to blow a cut down. Like, in the last 4 to 5 years, cut downs have become the trend down there. So it was really interesting to see those guys who were used to blowing a cut down try out our J-frame. We got a lot of good responses about it, a lot of good feedback. So yeah, really, really cool to see those guys try out the duck calls. And honestly, I was really surprised that a lot of those guys were looking for goose calls too. A lot more Canada goose hunters in Arkansas than I expected. So overall, just really cool show. Good people. Arkansas, if you've never been to a waterfowl show, or like, especially if you've never been, I guess, in a waterfowl show, you don't realize like how much waterfowl hunters like to party. Like the nightlife at that show was pretty insane. Josh and me had a good time, on Friday night. And then, yeah, had a good time pretty much every night after the show. So, always cool to kind of just, I mean, it's like, you know, you're in there for 6 to 8 hours. You got to unwind afterwards. So it's always fun to go. You know, everybody seems to communicate well, and everybody ends up at the same bar, same function or whatever, and hang out with a bunch of people. So that's always a lot of fun too.
Yeah. So we got this, cause we're everyone in the Flyways Collective is in this Marco Polo app where you send like little video clips and stuff. And so I think it was Thursday night, because I had to work the next day. So like late Thursday night, I'm already in bed. I wake up the next morning and here's Thomas and Josh at this bar trying to find Thomas, his future wife. And I never had we never heard if you did. Did you find the future Mrs. Hoke at this bar in Arkansas?
No, I have a girlfriend. Josh just was pulling, blowing smoke. Okay. Like, I was in no way looking for anything down there. So, nope. But yeah, I mean, it was a good time. It's kind of a unique, I mean, we're totally off topic now, but it was a very unique bar. It was a piano bar. So I'd never been to one of those before. So it's kind of like, I don't know what to call it, like concert seating, or I don't know. It's like a bunch of tables kind of in a little semicircle with a piano up on stage in the middle of it. And, you know, you could put in song requests, and they had like a big blackboard behind it that you could, it was like a, you could pay to put your message on it, and it progressively went higher. So it started at $1 and it just went up throughout the night. So you kind of had a back and forth between a bunch of different companies on there. Like it was like Kent over Migra. And then someone, you know, the next person who put it in was like Heavy Shot over Migra. And it just like kept going on and on with different companies like every night. So it was fun. Like, you know, the waterfowl community is very small, and I'd say people get along really well. So it's always fun to go out and just see people in a not such a formal setting. Cause at the shows, you know, everybody's working, but it's nice to be able to unwind with everybody and, you know, really get to talk to them.
Oh yeah. I guess I should mention at this Rogers weekend, I did see a Virginia Outdoors Unlimited hat.
Yeah. Jordan sent me that picture. I was like, I would have bet good money that anybody who bought, because I think the last time, I think I sold the last one of those like 3 years ago. Like I would have figured every single one of those was sweated through and, you know, donezo. So yeah, that was really, really cool to see. It made me think I should probably get some shirts or shirts or hats made sometime soon.
There was some hilarious shirts there this weekend. There's one I can't even repeat over this. Elliot and I had a great chuckle at it though. But the other, probably the second funniest one I saw was, it just said Skybuster and it had an arrow pointing to the left. I'm like, I want that shirt. That thing is awesome. that was pretty good. I'm trying to think what else there. I mean, there were some really good one. Another one was, I'm not a game warden, I swear, or something. So I should have asked that guy if he actually was, you know, like if you're a game warden, you got to tell me something, but.
Well, so. You always hear that. Like that's like a common phrase or trope is that like, oh, you know, if they're a game warden, they got to tell you, which I don't think is true, but like, it'd be funny to go up and ask them.
Yeah, so I mean that, like you said, that it seemed like a bunch of good people and just everyone in there for ducks and geese and just having a pretty good time. So yeah, it was fun. I'm looking forward to doing it again, hopefully. So
yeah, I'd like to make it out to that one next year. It's kind of, you know, the show season, I guess, for waterfowl. Like all of it falls in July and August, so for us being up here in Minnesota. Kind of got to pick your shows to go to. Otherwise, I would have been on the road like every single day, every single weekend this summer, just burning up gas. So that would have had to kind of narrow down the list. So, but I would like to make it out to that one next year.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, let's kind of pivot to looking to the season ahead. I know you've got a trip that may or may not be planned. I had a trip that I was hopefully planning on. That one, unfortunately, fell through. So I didn't draw my swan tag to Utah this year.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, hopefully next year is the year we can get her done. But that's okay. You know, I feel like I can plan on it more next year. Because, I mean, the more points you get, the more likelihood of a chance you get, you know. So that's all right. Maybe it'll rain some more out there and hopefully be just as good next year.
Have you been hearing stuff from out there? Like, do you have some friends out there or anything like that?
I've got a couple of contacts. I just know I've seen over the years, like, how much the Great Salt Lake has shrank. And I don't even know if, you know, if that's where we were going to go swan hunting or whatnot, but, you know, it'd be cool if it filled up or went the opposite direction of what it has been. So.
Yeah, I have one friend out there and he said this year, I hope he won't be mad at me for saying this, but he said this year is like the best water year they've had in a long time because they got a really good snowpack. They caught a lot of runoff. And he said he's just seeing a ton of hatch birds out there. Seems like the birds have responded to the water increasing out there. So, yeah, hopefully next, you know, get another good snow year and they'll just keep on rising.
Yeah, so let's hear about your trip that I – wasn't even told about until I went to the Rogers weekend.
Yeah, I could have swore I told you about it, but
it's all right.
I think I'm going to be up in Alaska for September.
Nice.
Got an opportunity to go up there. Corey's been up there for a lot of the summer, so got an opportunity to go to that same area that he's kind of been, you know, spending his entire summer salmon fishing at, and yeah, go duck hunt up there, go catch the, hopefully swing in just in time for the fall coho silver salmon run and, spend a few weeks just duck hunting and silver fishing. So I'm really looking forward to it. I honestly like haven't done any research about the duck hunting up there. Corey has met a couple local duck hunters up there that I'm sure I'll be in touch with to, you know, just try and pick their brain and maybe get on some hunts with, but I'm going into it, I'd say less prepared than I typically am for hunting trips because Alaska seems like such a cool place to me where the opportunity for exploration is almost endless. And that's kind of what I want the feel of this trip to be. I want it to be a very exploration minded trip instead of me going in with this entire plan and, you know, this huge list of Onyx pins and stuff like that. Like, I just want to go up there and go where the wind takes me. So I'm really looking forward to that. And after that, probably come back to Minnesota, stay here for a little while, and then go wherever the wind takes me. I pretty sure I totaled my truck a couple days ago. So that's probably going to put a little bit of a dent in the travel plans for this year. Ooh. But yeah. Beyond that, I mean, I'm looking forward to this fall. Like, Alaska is definitely the highlight or the thing I'm looking forward to most right now. I haven't booked my plane ticket yet, so that's the only thing left to do. But if any of y'all listening are from Alaska, reach out, shoot me a DM on Instagram or shoot me an email, and yeah, let me know if you're in the Alaska area. So I can probably just say I'm probably going to be out on the Kenai Peninsula. So if you're in that area, give me a holler.
Okay, so I just pulled up the Alaska waterfowl regs. You can hunt swans. You can shoot 3 swans on a permit. You can only get 1 permit a year, but from September 1st to October 31st. Cranes are open. Pretty much all the geese are open. Sea ducks.
Yeah, it's It's like Canada. Like, they open September 1. It's 8 ducks a day with no species restrictions except on canvasbacks and, I want to say, redheads. Like, you can go up there and shoot 8 pintails a day starting on September 1. Not that that's, like, a goal of mine or anything like that. But, I mean, it's legal to do up there. So, yeah, definitely a very different set of regulations. I'm pretty sure the swan permit is for a very specific zone. I don't think it's for the Kenai Peninsula. So I don't think I'll be chasing any swans up there, but I'm most looking forward to trying to chase ducks and cranes up there.
Yeah. You better be filming that. Like, I don't even care if you're fishing, you better be. I want to see all that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to try to, the whole idea is go up there and hunt fish and video the adventure, because I mean that's like the one thing about Alaska. It's like, if you go there, it's always going to be an adventure, you know, as long as you don't kind of hunt the same spot every day. Like, there's endless opportunities up there, and if you're looking at the map for up there, there's so much water everywhere. Like, scouting is going to be kind of daunting, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, that sounds awesome, honestly. Like, I'm just thinking, because, like, you're going to see the Northern Lights, all the there's mountains up there you can see, and then just, like, bears and moose and all kinds. You're just going to see all kinds of cool stuff and, like, duck hunting in that area. Man, that sounds awesome. I'm super jealous of you.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I wouldn't even say I'm worried about it, but, like, I hope I don't get ate alive by mosquitoes. I don't want to get ate by a bear, and I don't want to get stomped by a moose. So I want to see bear and moose, but I don't want to run into one at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning walking in to set up a spread. So I'd be very happy if I kept my bear and moose encounters to a somewhat of a distance. I think I probably will, like, depending on where I'm duck hunting, there's a good chance I'm carrying in a sidearm when I go into some duck hunting spots.
Yeah. Just, like, I'd fill your pockets full of berries and maybe like a T-bone. Just carry that with you just to throw out in case you see a bear.
Filleting out your ducks mid-hunt and cooking them is heavily encouraged in Alaska.
Yes, yes, yeah.
Optimal wildlife viewing experiences if you do that.
Yeah. But no, that sounds awesome. I mean, Alaska's towards the top of my bucket list for hunting. You know, I want to do the king eider thing up there and all the sea ducks, like a harlequin, or I think you can shoot Harleys up there, right?
Yeah. I don't know what the limits are. I know it differs up there between residents and non-residents, but I think you can shoot a few of them as a non-resident.
Yeah. See, it'd be an expensive trip, because I'd want to get like an eider, well, a common and a king eider and a harlequin and a scoter, and then all those would go to the taxidermist. I'm looking forward to hopefully you make that happen, and you get some cool footage and just cool pictures to send back to us. And yeah, I can't wait to, we'll talk about it on the podcast here in the future, I'm sure. So
yeah,
that's awesome. That's awesome.
Need to get a different job already so you can take like a week off and come up and join me. I got, Corey said, there's plenty of bunks up there. So like 100%, all you would have to do would be to book a plane ticket.
And I feel like, though, if I went up to Alaska for that long of time, I might just move there full time, you know, just.
That's kind of what I'm worried about. Like, Corey shared a quote with me not too long ago. It was something I'm not going to get it exactly right, but it's something along the lines of, never, as a young man, never go to Alaska because nothing else will ever compare. And so I am a little worried that it's going to completely spoil everything else for me. But I just love, like, especially with waterfowl hunting, the variety of everything is what always keeps me coming back. The opportunity for new experiences and to see new birds and stuff like that. So I'm sure Alaska will be a very cool and new experience, but I'm sure there'll be other places I'll want to go waterfowl hunting after that as well.
Oh yeah. So I guess let's talk about, now that we're getting closer, let's talk about season goals. I saw this on a Facebook for them a couple, like maybe a week ago. They were asking, you know, all the other, it was in a hunting one. So what are your season goals? And that I thought that was a good question. So what are your goals for this season besides go experience Alaska?
I just talked for a long time. So how about you go first on this one and I'll go second.
That's fair. So I guess I've got two goals and that, well, I've got more than two goals, but I have two goals every season when it comes to waterfowl hunting. Number one is lose no birds. That's my ultimate goal is I absolutely hate losing birds. And so I make that my number one goal each season for that reason. Last year, I want to say I only lost two or three, which is pretty good for the amount of birds I shot, but still I want a zero. I want that number to always be zero. As far as like, I don't care how many ducks I shoot. I don't care. You know, I'm not going to set a goal, for that. I feel like when you do that, if you set a goal on the day or on the season, it can take away from the overall hunting experience. You know, you put pressure on yourself like, oh, I got to shoot a limit today, or I've got to shoot this many goals this season. And that can lead to, you know, unwanted pressure. It can lead to that you not enjoying being out there as much. And it can lead to taking bad shots, you know, because of that pressure you're putting on yourself. So I never set that goal. I don't ever want to set that goal. My second goal, though, I will say that I set is hunt as much as possible. And, you know, I do fairly well at that while having a full-time job and a girlfriend and all that good stuff. But, you know, I always feel like I want to hunt more. And this time of year, it's a really good reminder where I'm missing it so much. I'm missing those days out there watching the birds. It doesn't matter if I'm shooting them. I just like being out there. That for me is why I do it, is the enjoyment of being out in nature, seeing all the, you know, seeing everything that we see in the experiences we get. And I want to, you know, I want to have that as much as possible. So when it's 90 degrees and 90% humidity or mosquitoes are out, or, you know, I'm sweating my butt off in the AC or whatever, I remind myself during hunting season, like, even if I'm tired, you know, just go out. Even if you don't shoot anything, you're not gonna kick yourself for going out. At least I won't be when it's this time of year. You're like, oh, I'm glad I did that, rather than, you know, maybe sleep in and you regret it in the summer. So those are two main goals.
Yeah, those are both great goals. And honestly, I'd say I probably only have three, maybe four, I guess, and two of those would be the exact same as what you just said. My third goal would be I want to get, obviously, for those that don't know, I got a puppy this year, this past November. I've been training him the entire spring. He's down at the trainers right now, Dynamic Retrievers, for force fetch. And, you know, like I'd say probably most, especially first-time dog owners, like, I was really hopeful that he would hunt this season, really hopeful that he'd be hunting at the start of the season, you know, dove season and stuff like that. With me going up to Alaska, I'm probably just going to let him stay at the trainers for an extra month, let them really work with him. They've been making the progress they've been making with him compared to the progress I made with him is night and day. Like, I am just such a rookie dog trainer, and Tim and his crew down there are so well experienced that I feel like him spending time with them is such a valuable investment. So I'll probably let him stay down there for all of September until I get back. And then I just want to be really smart about easing him into this season. Like, I hope to still hunt him. But I just want to be really smart about the hunts I take him on, about how I behave on those hunts, the mindset that I go into those hunts with. And I don't want to do anything that's going to detract from the training that I've done and that Tim and his crew have done, and also create bad habits and for the long term. So I just want to be really smart about that. And I have a lot of good mentors in the dog space. Obviously Corey has a lot of dogs. I've Talked with Elliot, some about dogs, just a bunch of different guys. So I have a lot of people who I can really, I feel like I have a very open line of communication with. I can ask them to really give myself another perspective on if me and Leroy are ready to begin hunting or if we should wait a little longer and try and progress further in training. And then the only other one I would really have is I just want to try out some different game utilization techniques. Working up here with Corey last year, one of Corey's big things is game utilization. And I learned a ton from him just last year, seeing how he processes game and cooks game. So I want to continue to learn more with that. I would like to document more of it. I really dislike filming myself cooking, but I don't mind filming someone else cooking. Like when I film myself cooking, I feel like I don't cook as well. And also I feel like the video never quite turns out as good as I would have hoped for. So I just want to make it more of a point to film stuff around the kitchen, whether it be me filming Corey cooking or Corey filming me cooking or someone else filming me cooking. Really ideally me filming someone else cooking, cause I'm still very much a rookie in the kitchen. So that's something I'd like to learn more, film more. Alaska actually has kind of a unique set of game utilization laws. Like up there, you are legally required to take the legs off of cranes and geese. So, there's requirements up there that, you know, I'm going to be abiding by and going to be trying to, you know, make use of all the game that I shoot up there. Over the last couple of years, I've really enjoyed cooking hearts, but you know, I'm not the biggest fan of liver. So I'd like to try to figure out a better way to, you know, cook livers. You know, around here, we got the dogs, you know, you just feed the liver to the dogs, but I don't think I'm going to have a dog up there in Alaska. So I would rather figure out a way to cook them myself instead of, you know, throwing them outside for the coons or whatever. Do they have coons in Alaska? Probably not.
I don't know. Wolverines, weasels,
Martens.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I don't know. But yeah,
mountain lions, just bears.
Yeah. Just stuff like that. It's been really cool the last couple of years. A lot of my crew from back home, my friends, Nolan, Drew, some other guys, they've got more into the game utilization thing as well. Just not that they weren't eating their birds before or anything like that, but just figuring out better ways to cook them and ways to utilize more pieces of the bird. You know, everybody seems to really be getting on this skin on trend the last couple of years, which I really like to see. So I'm always interested to see how people utilize duck fat, because throwing away duck fat is like, it's a duck hunting sin, in my opinion. Duck fat is such a good fat source. Like if you're at the minimum, render it down and put it in a jar. Like there's always a jar of duck fat somewhere in Corey's fridge. And I mean, when I'm looking for something to cook with, like I'm going to the duck fat every single time, either duck fat or bear grease duck fat or bear fat, like my two favorite things to cook with. So,
See, I've never rendered them. You got me intrigued. I'm going to try that this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, yeah, I mean, if it was up to me, I would never cook anything with a vegetable based oil again. And I would only cook with fats.
You brought up a good point. And like looking back over my duck hunting career, like when I really started doing it, like from where I was in college to where I am now, like just the amount of knowledge I have cooking wise, it's just crazy how much utilization I've increased, but I'm nowhere near to like what I want to be, because, you know, I want to fully utilize as much as I can. And I've got that Hank Shaw book, Duck, Duck, Goose. That thing is awesome. And you know, I love sharing recipes, so it's awesome that hopefully, you know, you can record those and share them. So like maybe I can learn some new tips. Like I know I get a lot of requests for my duck chili recipe, and it's like, I don't really have a recipe. I just kind of throw together a bunch of stuff until it tastes good and then throw a cinnamon roll in it. But maybe I'll try to have to record a duck chili thing so people can, you know, share it with some people. But goose legs, I do have a recipe I can share with you pretty quick. So you just throw like probably four of them in a crock pot, put some brown gravy au jus juice in there, whatever you want to call it, and slow cook them for, I don't know, 12 hours to a day until the meat falls off the bone. shred that, and then throw it in with some egg noodles, and you have goose leg and noodles, basically beef and noodles. So pretty tasty. Throw it on some, eat it like that, or throw it on some mashed potatoes.
Yep. And you can do crane legs the same way. And crane legs are awesome that way. Crane legs are pretty dang good. So
yeah, I guess, as far as, I don't know if I'd really call them goals. Like the goal is some point in my life, I guess, or something I'd like to do is, you know, like a deer hunter saying they want to shoot a 200 class whitetail or whatever. I'd like to shoot, you know, like a banded goose or a pintail drake with a nice sprig that I can, cause I've shot pintail drakes. They've never had a nice sprig. And every time one with a nice sprig comes in, I either don't see it until I'm looking at my shot cam afterwards, or I miss. So maybe this will be the year, but, no, I wouldn't say, you know, it's really a goal. It's just something I hope happens, but.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's any, like, I'm not planning on taking any bird specific trips this year. I would like to get a cinnamon teal. That's like, that's the only puddle duck species that I haven't shot. So I would like to either go down to Texas or California and go chase them this year. But like beyond that, I mean, I'm sure. I feel like a lot, if you're going to get into like a cool new species, something like really exotic, I feel like Alaska is the place for it. Like, you know, hunting up there for a few weeks, I feel like my odds of shooting a Eurasian widgeon or an Aleutian teal or something like that are higher than they would be anywhere else in the country. Maybe up in Washington would be better chances for Eurasian widgeon. I don't know how many they really get over in Alaska, but it seems like they're really increasing their population on the West Coast the last few years. So I'd love to shoot one of them. I think like of all the ducks, they're one of the coolest looking. I think they're even, you know, an American widgeon, I think, is one of the coolest looking of the North American waterfowl species. And I think a Eurasian widgeon looks way cooler than an American widgeon. So I would love to get a drake, although I guess if I shot him in September, he probably wouldn't have much for colors.
Yeah. Yep. But I guess, yeah, I'm not, like you said, I'm not taking any bird specific trips. I am looking to, I guess another goal of mine would be to hunt some new areas. I am looking to hunt new areas. Cause you know, that's part of it. Kind of like what you were saying about Alaska is exploring. That's part of what I love about waterfowl hunting and just exploring new areas, figuring out what works and what doesn't in those areas. And then, you know, you have those to hunt in the future too, if you want to. So I've got my eyes on a couple areas that I want to at least scout out and try out. And, hopefully we'll see if they work this season.
Yeah, absolutely. Why don't you, try and pull a tundra swan permit in North Dakota? I think the lottery's still open for up there.
I guess I didn't really think about it. I don't know. I prefer hunting mountainous areas. Like if I can, it's not even really about the swan. It's just, I really want to hunt Utah in the mountains. Like that backdrop, you know, I've hunted Wyoming and hunted Canada geese in the mountains there. That was awesome. And so it's kind of a combination of, I can shoot a swan here with this backdrop, you know, it's about the atmosphere for me, or the atmosphere, the setting, the environment. Yes. Thank you. North Dakota, I'm not saying it's not beautiful. There's a ton of wetlands up there from what I understand, and some rivers too, but there's no mountains. So
yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, honestly, when you get out into the rolling prairie part of North Dakota, there's more hills than you would expect. Like they're still not mountains, but I mean, there's some peaks for sure. Like, I mean, there's some knobs that you could get up on top of and see for a long ways. But yeah, I get what you're saying about mountains and everything. I just think North Dakota is such a magical place. Like if I was to go, you know, I've wanted to shoot one in Virginia or North Carolina, especially North Carolina, because North Carolina holds such a huge wintering population for them. And swan hunting is like, I don't know if it's like part of the hunting culture down there. Like, you know, there's a lot of people that do it, and it's definitely people are well versed in it down there. So I felt like I could go out with locals and do that in North Carolina. But of all the settings that I just feel like are the epitome of waterfowl hunting, like they just make you feel like you are close to nature and you're the place where the birds want to be. Like North Dakota is the place in terms of the areas that I've traveled to. So I would love to shoot a swan out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's all like you were kind of saying, there's all these areas I want to visit. If it has mountains, it's going to be pretty close to number one on my list. Montana, Utah, you know, I've hunted Wyoming. I want to get back there. I'd say Colorado, but I think most of the spots where there's mountains, there's a lot of people too. So that's, you know, there's a lot, sounds like there's a lot of pressure from what I understand and not a lot of public, but, you know, maybe someday I'll get over into Colorado even. But yeah, you know, and North Dakota, it's kind of what you were describing it as. It sounds a lot like the Sandhills, you know, and I love hunting the Sandhills. You know, just, they're not mountains, but they're just gorgeous, especially in the fall when the native grasses are turning orange and red and yellow. Like it's just a beautiful setting. Just magnificent. So I'm excited to get back up there, and I guess Elliot's going to join me this year up there. So that's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to that too.
Yeah, that'll be super cool. That's the first I heard of that. So I'll be anxiously awaiting all the videos from that trip.
Yeah. We were talking about it yesterday when we were at Rogers Weekend too. And I was asking like, so is Georgie good in like heavy vegetation? We're going to put her to the test. And I think he's pretty excited. I know I'm super excited. It's going to be a great time this fall, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've been hearing the last few weeks has been like a good chance for people across the North to really see the bird number, really get a good gauge on bird numbers, you know, hatches for the most part over. And from what I've been hearing from guys in Minnesota and North Dakota is that both a lot of good hatch in this area. Canada sounds like it wasn't so great. A lot of dry areas up in Saskatchewan and stuff like that. But I think overall, I'm pretty optimistic for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife breeding bird report to come out. So, and obviously the breeding report doesn't count the newly hatched birds, but I think we had a good bit of, it seems like we had a good bit of water on the landscape this spring and birds responded to it well in the Prairie Pothole region.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw there was some article kind of, it's like there was more water, but they basically kind of said what you said is like, is it good news or is there hidden bad news or something like that? But we're waiting for the new bird number count to come out, and that should be next week, maybe.
I want to say it's like August 20th. They're doing like a cool event for it this year. I want to say it was hosted by DU. But it's going to be like a live stream announcement sort of deal. They have like 8 different waterfowl conservation professionals that are going to be on talking about all that stuff. So I wish I had a link for that handy. I don't know if I could even find one if I looked for it. Did you see that?
I did see that. Yeah. I think you can just go on their Facebook page and they had I saw it on Instagram and Facebook. So,
okay.
Yeah. Now as soon as you said that, I was like, oh, okay. Yep. Now I do remember seeing that. So yeah, that'll be cool.
Yeah. I'm interested to see that and, see those guys take on, the numbers. I want more than anything is I just don't want the pintails to fall below 1.5 million. Because if they fall below 1.5 million, then we're looking at a closed season, not for this coming fall, but probably the next one. So, just fingers crossed that the pintails did all right and responded to the water in North Dakota and South Dakota this spring.
Yeah. Yep. So hopefully they can do well. I know I saw a bunch this spring when I was snow goose hunting. It seems like that's when we always see them, but yeah, well, I guess, you know, that the season's coming up shortly here. Like we said, I'm pretty pumped. I'll go off on this tangent real quick, but I'm pretty pumped about opening weekend for dove and teal, because we start September 1st, dove, which is a Friday. The night before is the first Husker game of the season. So I got Husker football Thursday night, dove hunting Friday morning, teal hunting Saturday, Sunday, Monday, because we have Labor Day off, and then we're off to the races. So.
So you're going to be hungover for opening day of dove season? Well,
no, I'm not going to. I might have one or two Coors Lights watching, cheering on the Huskers, hoping they win. And then I'm trying to think what time is that game? Because hopefully it don't keep me up too late so I can wake up. Because I don't like going on like 4 hours of sleep for for morning hunts or anything like that. So hopefully
It is an opening day, so, I mean, you could just stay up all night and just...
no. Okay, so, funny story, though, about that. Last year, dove opener, it was a Thursday, and I couldn't sleep the night before. Like, I was pumped for dove opener, and so, like, I think I got out to the dove field. It was probably 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And, yeah, I was like... Are you kidding me? But it's like, what am I going to do? Because I couldn't get back to sleep. I was just so amped and I was so excited. And I was like, whatever, I'm going to go out to the dove field and sit out there, you know, find the perfect spot and sit out there. And it ended up being really cool because as the sun was coming up before shooting time, I had 2 or 3 mule deer bucks walk right across from me. And they sat there and stared at me for like, they were 5 to 10 yards. And it was also opening day of, archery season for deer. So I was like, well, this is ironic. I'm not even deer hunting. I got these, they were pretty decent bucks, all velveted up. I got footage of them actually, but
yeah, I remember yeah. You put that in your video. Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah, that was really cool. I wish I would have been able to sleep until, you know, like 5 o'clock or something. But it was like, if I get up early during hunting season and it's like, I can't sleep, I'm going to go up and just go out to the marsh or wherever the field.
Yeah. But, well, it's probably a good place to wrap this one up. I know. Yeah. We're both excited for hunting season right around the corner, and I'm sure we'll be on here within the next couple of weeks to talk.
Talk duck finals, numbers.
Yeah. Duck numbers, final season plans, maybe. Whatever else comes to mind. So you want to wrap this one up, Matt, or you got anything else on the docket?
Nope. I think that's it. Be sure to join the Facebook group, the Foul Front Podcast group. There's some good discussion going on there, and be sure to, you know, give us some feedback. We'd love hearing positive, negative. If it's constructive, always appreciate that. And if you think we've earned it, give us a 5-star rating on whatever listening platform. Go follow Thomas on YouTube, Hoke Outdoors. Well, hold off on that. For a little while. I'm 500 subs behind him, so I am closing the gap on him quickly. But I'm just kidding. He's got some good content, and if he's putting that Alaska stuff out, that's going to be awesome. There better be some like killer B-roll of the Aurora Borealis up there and a moose, you know, in the morning in a swamp or something. Like I'm anticipating this like cinematic just experience from all your future videos in Alaska. So, but no, go check him out. And then go check me out, High Prairie Sportsman, over on YouTube. Anything to add, Thomas?
I like that. Yeah, set the bar high. Yeah, I mean, I don't really do it. I haven't done those type of videos in a long time, but I like it. Yeah, stoke a little fire and set the bar high. So, absolutely. Appreciate everybody listening.
See ya.